right. Well, let me get myself together here. If you're taking notes, I have titled it, I Am Chosen. And listen to me. You are young, and in your young adult life, you're going to come across so many things. You're going to feel inadequate in many, many ways. Do you remember when you were in high school and you walked into a group and then it was like, I don't belong here, and it's really awkward? Do you remember that? It's probably the same for some of you here. If you don't know anybody here and you're walking into a whole bunch of people that know each other, it's very uncomfortable. Let me tell you something, that never goes away. Okay, I'm so sorry to tell you that. But you do become more confident in who you are as you grow older. And so in these times, I believe God has something that if you could get a hold of what God wants to speak to you through Esther's life, I know that it's going to give you a courage that you've not maybe had. It's going to give you a boldness that you didn't know you needed. It's going to bring you down a path that you never knew you wanted to go down. Because Esther's life and the story of Esther was jam-packed with so many lessons. I could probably preach on Esther for the next month because so many little details of her life were such humongous lessons for us as the body of Christ. But I'm going to touch on some things. And as we get into Esther, I'm going to paraphrase the story because it's just, you know, it's like 10 chapters, so we can't read all of them in church. So I'm going to paraphrase it, okay? There was a king, and he was a special king. I mean, he was over 127 like areas, okay? So like Yucaipa, Redlands, all of those areas, 127 of them, he was over them. They were partying and they were hanging out. Now, I am going to kill his name. Are you ready for me to try and break this down? It is King Xerxes. I practiced that like 50 times and I killed it still. Okay, so anyways, these people have some crazy names. And but he was an amazing king. And he was partying because they had come into a time of blessing and they were celebrating. And he wanted to show off his wife. And her name was Queen Vashti. And Queen Vashti was having her own party with all of her girls. So I guess the girls were having a side party because girls, we do like to get together, right? Because that's why you need to be at a Gage Women's Conference. Okay, so just a little drop there. And so the girls are partying and they're hanging out and he calls for his wife because he wants to show her off to the city. He wants to show her off to his kingdom. He wants to brag about how beautiful she was. Now listen, Vashti was a gorgeous woman. And so Vashti gets the notice from his servant boy, and she says, no, I'm not going. Now, I don't know if you understand how things work nowadays. We go, well, she said she didn't want to come. But back then, that was like death. You don't tell a king no, number one. There was an authority back then that she was not her own person. She did what he said. She was supposed to be where he needed her to be. And she decided, no, I'm not going to do it. Ooh, he was hot. He got really, really, really mad. And so he started to steam up and he gathers all of his advisors around him. And he says, what do we do about this? And his advisors are like, you know, stirring the pot. Have you ever been around people that like to stir the pot when things aren't good? Yes, don't talk to them when you're mad then, okay? Because they're going to make it worse. And so that's a lesson right there. We could preach on that all night. Okay, so he gets his advisors together and they're stirring him up. And they're like, don't let her get away with this, because then all the women in the land are going to act like her, and they're going to just tell the men what to do. And he was like, oh, no, okay. And so all the advisors are like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get every woman in all over the land that are in the age group that you need, and we are going to doll them up for like 6 months, and then you're going to pick yourself a new queen. And he's like, okay. Now listen, I don't know how things worked back then, but if Dan was allowed to get a new queen because I told him no, we would have had issues a long time ago. And so here he was. He's ready to get a new queen, and then I'm going to move to another side of this story, okay? So pause there. Put your little, like, you know, marker there, all right? Now, in the land, there was a whole bunch of Jewish people, and they were wonderful people, and they loved the Lord greatly. And they had just an amazing community. And there was a young girl, and her name was Esther. And Esther was a gorgeous young lady, just like some of you in here. Well, most of the women in here, all of you. And, yeah, nobody, like, excluded from that, okay? All inclusive, that's what we do. Okay, so she was gorgeous. And here's Esther. She's just in love with the Lord. But I believe that what made Esther beautiful was her heart for God. Because It's not just about what is on the outside. It's about what's on the inside. Because let me tell you something, old woman talking here. When you get married, guess what happens? The outside is no longer as important as the inside. Because then all of a sudden, those things that were cute aren't so cute anymore. And so here she is, a beautiful lady inside and out. And they go and gather all the women, and she has an uncle, and his name is Mordecai. Now, Mordecai was one of the top dogs in the kingdom. He was like one of the guys, one of the people that the king can rely on. He knew the king. He knew the kingdom. He knew the grounds. I mean, he was a good man. And Mordecai brought in Esther because he was her niece, okay? And he was her uncle. And so they were family. And so when they gathered all these people, he was not comfortable with her going into this realm because he knew what happened in the kingdom. He knew what happened within those walls. He knew what was going to be expected of his sweet niece who loved the Lord and who was so gorgeous. But he had no choice. And so here she goes. She's gathered up with all the women. And check this out. For 6 months, they put perfume on them every single day. They got massages. They got their nails done. They got their hair done. I'm thinking, this sounds awesome. Like, I could be at the spa. Could you imagine, Angelina? Like, 6 months out of the year? Yeah, I'm in, right? But she missed her family, and she longed for God. And she couldn't let him know, you know, who she was, and she was just the innocent girl. And these girls were told that they could bring anything in because they're going to have an audience with the king for one night. What would happen was these girls would walk in with the king at night, and then they would leave in the morning. Now, I do not know what happens. There's like the bachelor, you know, oh, no, we didn't do nothing. Okay. I don't know what happened in that room at that night. But here she goes. It's her turn. And all the girls are bringing gold and they're bringing silver. And they can gather anything they want from the kingdom. And they can bring it in. Anything to make themselves look like better. You know what I'm saying? So I would be picking like the biggest diamonds you can find out of the treasury, right? But here she is. She doesn't. And she says, no, 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 I'm just going to go in with what the advisor tells me to do. And it was really nothing. It wasn't these great extravagant things. And it says, let's go there. Okay, Esther 2, verse 13. Thus prepared each young lady, and they went to the king. And she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the woman's quarters and the king's palace. In the evening she went, and in the morning she returned to the second house of the women, the custody of Shazagaz and the king's Enoch to keep the concubines. And so they were all called concubines. All the women that were gathered, they called them concubines, okay? I don't want to be called a concubine, but that was what they called them back then. And she would not go in with the king again unless the king delighted in her and called her by name. Verse 15, now when she turned, when her turn came for Esther, the daughter of blah, 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 and her uncle Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, she requested nothing but Haggai, what the king's Enoch, the custodian of women, advised, as Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. So what this tells me about Esther, she found favor not just with the king at this point. She had the inside track. People liked her. Have you ever been around someone who people just like? Just for some reason, you know, you may not be the person that people like. Sometimes I am not the person that people like. I don't know why. I go home at night and I'm like, am I that bad? So anyways, but maybe, you know, there's that girl, you know, do you girls remember the girl that everybody liked in high school and you're like, really? I believe Esther was her. I believe that people were just drawn to her goodness. They were just drawn to her heart. They were just drawn to what poured out of her was the Spirit of God. But they didn't know that they were attracted to the Spirit of God. That's the beauty of Esther. And then it says, so Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace on the 10th month, which in the month of Tebeth, the 7th year of the reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. And she had set the royal crown upon her head, and he had made her queen instead of Vashti. He saw favor. He saw goodness. He chose Esther out of all of those women that had been prepared for him. over his most beautiful wife that he had been, you know, married to for a long period of time. He chose Esther, this Jewish girl that was a nobody, who was the niece of Mordecai, who had no parents, who had no identity. But yet God said, I'm going to use this little girl right here. You might feel in times in your life like nobody sees you. You might feel like you're just that person that everybody overlooks and nobody ever sees the goodness coming out of you. But listen to me. God sees you. God chooses you. God formed you and knows you. You are chosen by him, just as Esther was chosen by God. Esther walked in favor, and guess what? You walk in favor. Esther caught the eye of a king. You have caught the eye of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of heaven and earth, the one who created and formed the universe. He knows you by name. He's called every hair on your head. When you lost it in the shower this morning, he counted again because he knows. Listen to me. You are not here by chance. You are not brought into the, I don't care how your mom and your dad got together and you were created. It was all God's plan because you have a purpose, you have a destiny, and you have a call. Here was Esther, an orphan, and her uncle took her in. She was the least likely person to live as royalty, but yet here she was. She didn't have to do anything else, anything extra herself, because she was already beautiful in the sight of God. And I believe that God wants you to know that he sees you tonight. And that when you feel inadequate, he is more than enough for you. When you feel that you can't do it, he's got your back. When you feel like you don't know what to do next, God says, oh, but I'm with you. Because I know the plans that I've laid out before you, says God in Jeremiah 29:11. You see, Esther was chosen just as you are. Isaiah 43:10 in the Voice. It's a paraphrase Bible, but I just love the way that it put it. And it says, Isaiah 43:10, it says, Eternal One, you are my witnesses. You are my proof. Let's stop there for a second. Did you ever think of yourself as someone who is proof of the one who is above all, sees all, knows all, created all? You are proof of him. That's incredible. That means that you have such an incredible value given to you by God. That you, in yourself, who you are right now in this moment, sin or no sin, whoever, wherever, whatever you've been doing, God says, you're proof of me. Because man was created by God. We were not formed by apes. I don't care what the school system tries to tell you. We were created by God. And we are proof that he's real. And we are proof that he is God. And it goes on, in order that you would know me, trust me, and be faithful to me. Understand that I alone am God. No God was formed before me. You guys are young adults right now, and I know you're being challenged with, why is your God a real God? And what makes your God different than another God? You're in college, and oh man, I remember being in college. And they're going to hit you up, and they're going to tell you everything God isn't. And you're going to sit in your classes, and you're going to feel like, God. How do I? I'm like the only one in here. I remember when we were doing young adults, I had a girl, and she was like, I'm literally the only Christian in my college class. And when they talk about my God, it hurts my heart. She goes, I literally weep in the middle of class because I'm so in love with God that they don't understand that he's not this generic God. He's not this tradition. He's not like just something that, you know, has been for years and decades, and it's just, it's a good thought. But it's a relationship, and he loves me. And I had to walk her through that for many, many years of her whole college experience. She ended up graduating and became a cop. I'm proud of her today. I just saw her today, and she was a wonderful woman. She helped build Shift. But she had to fight, and she had to say, no, God is God. And it says, and there will be no God after me. You were chosen. Ephesians 1:4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Wait, are you telling me that God knew you? That he saw you? That he knew your name? That he knew everything about you before he created this world? That means when he breathed and the earth was formed. When he stopped the ocean from coming onto the land. When he formed the animals, he already knew about you. That's how special you are. So when you want to beat yourself up, and when you want to say you're not enough, and when you want to look in the mirror and feel inadequate, or, oh, I don't look good enough, or I don't have that, or I don't have what somebody else has, I want you to look in the mirror and say, no, I am chosen. I am God's son, and I am God's daughter, and he formed me, and he knew me. God knows your name, and he has your number. Jeremiah 1:5, it says, oh, we already read that, didn't we? No, we didn't. It says, Eternal One is speaking. Before I even formed you in your mother's womb, I knew all about you. Before you drew your first breath, I had already chosen you to be my prophet, to speak my word to the nations. Wait a second. So God is saying right here that he didn't just choose you. He didn't just already know who you were. But what it's saying is that he already had a plan for you. That you have a mouth, right? Do you all have a mouth? Can you move it? Do it. Do it right now. I want to see you move it. That means it's for him. Instead of using your mouth to gossip, instead of using your mouth to make out with that boy you should not be making out with, or that girl you should not be making out with, or all the other filthy things this world wants to put into our mouths. You're like, no, she did not go there. I am a cobra. Remember that. Before we do, remember, we're anointed. This is an anointed mouth. This is an anointed woman. This is an anointed man of God. I have a call and a purpose and a destiny. And my mouth and what I speak and what I say, I am called to be a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what you are called for. You see, you are more than what you think you are. You're greater than you know who you are. God has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for you. And if I could say to any young adult, just as Esther had no concept of what she was walking into, God has greatness for you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. You might look at me and think, oh, she's a goody-goody. Listen, I am broke, busted, and disgusted. I don't even know how I ended up with Dan. Okay, because Dan was a wonderful man. He was a virgin when we got married. I was so not a virgin when we got married. You're like, what? This is not Confession 101. Everybody knows my testimony. And if you haven't heard it, you need to come to the main sanctuary because I told it a couple times. And if you're a women's minister, you hear it all the time. But listen, I was a broken girl. I had to find my own salvation. I had to find my way. I was in a broken relationship where I did not understand that I was chosen by God. I was getting beat up in a relationship so bad that I almost died. Every time I raise my hand in worship, I close my eyes and I see the moment that God said to me, if you scream, I will save you. And I got knocked out and I ended up in another room. And there was I know she was an angel. She was a lady, but I know she was an angel sent from God that came and rescued me from that moment because I was going to die. This man was ready to kill me. And I know every time I raise my hand that I serve a real God who will deliver you from anything that you are caught up in. If you call out on the name of Jesus, he has your back because he loves you so much. He's just waiting for you to come home. And she was chosen just like I was chosen. I had to go through that healing process. And then here's Dan, and we're in the youth group, and Dan chooses to date me. And you know the first thing I did? I ran. And I was like, he's too good. First of all, he was white. I had never dated a white guy. Did you guys know that? I never dated a white guy. And I was like, he's in the band. I like football players. I'm like totally like... He's got long hair. That is not cute. Like, Dan was just not. So, girls, do not write your list because Dan was not the list. But let me tell you, Dan has superseded the list because. Woo, babe, woo! He has. He superseded the list because, you know why? I fell in love with the God in Dan. Instead of falling in love with what's on the outer appearance, because I know that's really big in the young culture. Listen, that all fades away. Let me just tell you, it all starts drooping. It is very fleeting. But you know what? Somebody who loves the Lord with all of their heart, there's that lasts forever. And there's nothing so beautiful as that. If you could find the love of Jesus in each other, I believe God will help you choose the right mate for your life. Thank you. That was for free. Thank you, honey. D.L. Moody. If this world is going to be reached, he said, I am convinced that it must be done by men and women of average talent. I don't know about you, but there's nothing special about me. I mean, I look at like, okay, you guys know Stacey Cobray, right? That girl can do anything. Do you know that she needed a picture on her wall? They got into this house. She needed a picture on, am I right, Marnie? And she literally paints this like beautiful oil painting and never had painted before. I'm like, really? Like, it looks like I would pay, like, millions of dollars to buy that stinking oil paint. I'm, like, mad at her, you know? She's like, I'm going to become a realtor. And, like, you know, 6 months later, I'm a realtor, and I've sold, like, 5 houses. And I'm just like, you know? I mean, just really? You know? I mean, come on. When God was passing things out, he didn't pass anything out to me but big, thick legs and a big mouth. But you know what? That's okay, because my skinny man likes my thick legs. So, we're all good. I'm joking. I'm totally playing. If you guys are like, what the heck is wrong with this lady? Sometimes I like to play. But listen, what were we talking about? Women, you're with me. The men are like, really? Get back to the point. Okay. Average people. We're all average, and I believe God wants to use average and make it extravagant. And I believe that whatever is in your hand to use, that God will bless it. So don't underestimate or diminish what God has given you. Whether that be a great talent like Stacey Cobray, who could do anything she puts her little mind to, or if it be like me, who doesn't know how to sing a lick, but I have a big mouth and I will tell someone about Jesus, then God's going to use that. Listen, whatever it is, don't diminish what God has given you. Don't diminish what's in your hand because you're chosen, okay? Number two, what we can learn from Esther. So here's Esther, right? She's chosen. We're going to go over and we're going to move over to Esther 4. She's chosen. She's finding favor. Stuff is going down because there's a man by the name of Haman. That just sounds like a bad name. Haman. Haman. And Haman did not like Mordecai at all. He actually hated the Jews. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? We're still living in that time, guys. This has been going on. You know, they don't know that this is a spiritual war going on in our world, but it is. And it's been happening since you can even go back and read. So just go back and read, and it's all the same tactics. We should be smart enough to go back and read and figure out how to defeat it, right? Hello. And so here's Haman. Hates the Jews. Wants to annihilate them. And he goes to the king. And he's talking to the king, and then all of a sudden he walks out of the king, and here's Mordecai sitting outside the king's area. And just for some reason, Haman just didn't like him. He just irritated Haman. Now, I believe what was going on here was Haman was an ungodly man, and Mordecai was a godly man. And sometimes your spirit man is not going to line up with other people because they do not like the Spirit of God in you. Okay, so that was for free. If you're wondering, why do they not like me? Well, maybe they just recognize that there's something inside of you that is greater than what they can control. And so here's Haman, and he has no say over Mordecai, but Mordecai has favor after favor with the king. So Haman goes, and he talks to his family. He goes home that night, and he's like, oh, that Mordecai, I just don't like him. And then all of Haman's friends gather around, and they're like, why don't you do this? Why don't you go to the king and ask him if you can hang Mordecai? And why don't you build 75 feet of gallows to hang him? Now, I have never had that conversation about one person I did not like. I do not know how they rallied him up so much. But let me just say, gossip could be a whole nother message in this story. And so here they go. Haman builds these galleys. And in the meantime, Mordecai notices something good that has happened. And he says, who did this for me? And they said, oh, Mordecai. did this, the king goes, oh, I want to bless Mordecai. I want to bless him. And so he pulls Haman in, and Haman's like, oh, yes, king, here I am the next day. And he goes, what would you do for a person who did this and this and this and blessed the kingdom? What would you do? Oh, I'd bring out the finest. Now, Haman's thinking, he's talking about me. So he's going all out, right? You know, he's like, yeah, bring the finest horses out, bring the finest robes out, and then bring them through the whole city and be like, this is a man who blesses the king. This is what he looks like. And he's like, okay, great. Haman, what I want you to do is go get Mordecai, and I want you to do that to Mordecai. I mean, he was eating crow at that point. I mean, come on. That was probably like, dang it, you know? So he had to go through the city. He had to be like, look what this king, look at what this man did for the king. And that just stirred his fires and his embers more. He got more mad and more mad and more mad. And so at this point, he goes and he talks to the king. And we're gonna stop there. It's kind of hard to tell the whole story because it's so big. But we're going to break it up, okay? Esther 4. Because I cannot read everything to you guys. So I'm going to paraphrase part of it. So the king is about to set a decree because Haman gets into the king's ear. Have you ever had someone go into the ear of your boss or your parents? Have you ever had that brother or sister that you're like, seriously? There's been someone in your world that has spoken bad things about you and you've not been able to defend yourself. That's what's happening to Mordecai. And so Haman gets into the ear of the king. And he says, can we kill the Jews? And he makes these stories up and he starts talking about them. The king says, yes, do what you need to do. And he sends a decree out that they are going to kill the Jews. And at this point, great weeping began. And they would rip their clothes and they fasted and they prayed and they did not know what to do. And they were praying and begging God to come and show up on their behalf. And Esther notices that Mordecai is sitting outside of the king's palace. And he looks sad. And so Esther says to her servant, go bring him some food. So he goes to bring him food. And he says, no, I'm not eating that. And he goes, and this is what he says. He says this back to Esther. She's not sure what's going on. And in Esther 4:13. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do you think in your heart that you will escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews? She's like, what? And he says, we're going to die. And when he finds out you're a Jew, you're going to die. Because all Jews are commissioned. And just so you guys know, a little bit of history here. And all of those 127 providences, the Jews, were like the poorest of the poor. They were the ones that nobody cared about, nobody loved. They only had each other. They were killed daily. They were totally beaten up. They were never given anything extra. They were pushed down for year after year after year after year after year. And so now they're ready to kill all the Jews and annihilate them. And he's telling Esther, do you think you're going to get away with it because you're Jew? And he says, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. Because God will not leave his people hurting, and he will not abandon his people. This was Mordecai's faith going, if you don't do it, then somebody else will be risen up for that moment. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Listen to me. You were born when you were born for such a time as this. You have a purpose and a call for your generation. You are to be God's mouthpiece. God wants to use you and equip you and fill you so you can go out and you can do what God has asked you to do. Now listen to me. It may be some uncomfortable circumstances like Esther was put in. Esther was put in a position where her life could be taken. But really, what did Esther have to lose? You know, Paul says to die is gain. When you know who Jesus is, we have nothing to lose here on earth. Because when we open our eyes, we are only passing through this world. This is a passing through thing here on earth. And when we get to heaven, that is where it all matters. That's what we are doing things here on this earth together, as many people to come to know who Jesus is. And he's saying to you that you have a purpose and a call just as Esther did. Rick Warren says, it's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than yourself and your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It is far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on the planet, you must begin with God. You were made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will not make sense. Esther understood her position. She knew there was favor on her. She understood that she was being called out. You will be called out by God to fulfill the purpose that he has for you. And that calling may not look like what you think it should be. It may not be when and where you want it to be. Because let me tell you, God does not ever work on our plan. But we have to work on his plan. And we have to be flexible and willing. And here was Esther. She found herself in a position of not knowing what to do. And I love this. Verse 16. Go gather all the Jews and present in Shushan and fast for me. She gathered the troops. Because you don't do life alone, lovely, lovely people. You may feel alone, but you're not alone. Look at the person next to you. That is your brother and your sister. We are all family. We are all a part of the body of Christ. And let me tell you something. You have each other. She gathered her people. They got together and they prayed and they fasted. And I love what she says at the end of this verse. She says, reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews and neither eat nor drink for 3 days and nights. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. And so Mordecai went on his way. She knew what the price was that might have been paid, but she was willing to do it. Your purpose and your destiny will cost you something. Because there was a greater price that was paid for you. Jesus went to that cross and he died on that cross. And he died for our sins so that we could be free. And that cost was so great. And so the least we can do is give our lives back to him and do what he has purposed and called us to do. And Esther did that. Purpose is great, but fear will always be there to detour us from it. Listen, you are always going to get talked out of what God has asked you to do. I am not kidding you. I got like 50 phone calls before I was preparing this message. There will be always a distraction. I literally had to put my phone down and be like, I am not answering that anymore. You will have to set aside things to do what God has asked you to do. It may be uncomfortable. It may not be what you want to do. You will have to say to your flesh, I'm dying to you today because I am on call and I have to fulfill the purpose that God has asked me to do. And that is what Esther has done. And that's what we should learn from her. But it doesn't end there. I will make this quick because I know I'm running out of time. Esther says, okay, what I'm going to do. She dresses herself up beautiful and she stands outside the doors. Now listen, back then you don't approach a king unless you are summoned. If you approach the king, you die. That's how it works. So she says, if I perish, I perish, because he has not summoned her. And some of the history behind this is that he has not summoned her for a while. And she cannot request an audience with him either. She has to be summoned herself. So she stands at the door, and he sees her pass by, and he says, oh, Esther, come on in. And he loves her so much, he says, if you want half of my kingdom, I will give it to you. Tell me what it is that you came for. Now, that's favor. I would have been like, all right, well, hold on a second here. Don't kill the Jews, but can I have this too? But she was on a mission. She knew she was a smart woman. She had to butter him up a little bit. You go, what? Now listen, girls, this is a little inside thing, so I won't tell the rest of it. But she had one meal for him already laid out. And she said, if you come tonight and bring Haman with you, I'd like to have dinner. I prepared dinner for you. And he says, yeah, sure. So they go and they have dinner together, and she says nothing to him. He says, at dinner, he says, what are you requesting of me, Esther? And she says, if you come back tomorrow night with Haman, then I will have dinner for you again. And he's like, okay. And do you know what happens? Haman is so excited. Ooh, he thinks he is just the man. Well, he was pretty pompous, wasn't he? First he thought he was the one that was going to be paraded through the streets. And then he's like, oh, Esther, you know, she's made us dinner. Sorry, honey, I'm not coming for dinner tonight because I'm having dinner with the queen. He thought that he was in good regard. And then all of a sudden this thing with Mordecai went down and his wife was like, oh, you are nearly dead now. You are dead. And he goes to this dinner in verse 8. Okay, let's go to 8. I'm just going to move over to 18 because I've already talked about it all. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king because when Esther had dinner with her husband, he was no longer the king at this point. He was her husband. And she got into his heart and she said, I'm asking that you do not kill the Jews. For the man that wants to kill them, because I'm Jewish, the man that wants to kill them is Haman himself. And at that point, I'm sure Haman was like, oh my goodness. He's going to kill me. And he said, I will not kill the Jews. So as the king was walking out, here was Esther. And she was relieved. And here's Haman at her feet like, oh, please, oh, please. Now he's begging for her, right? Now he wants her to forgive him. And then check this out. The king's like, oh, and you're going to molest my wife at this point too. I mean, this guy is burying himself. I'm paraphrasing, okay? You're like, what? They said molest in the Bible? And so he's thinking this guy's dirty. He's rotten. Look at him at her feet trying to beg her. Now that she's tried to kill her whole entire, no, this is not what we're going to do. We're going to notify Mordecai. And so Esther talks about Mordecai in verse 15. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king. Mordecai is called into the king's throne room. And the king of royal apparel on the blue and white with a gold crown and a garment of linen. Ooh, he was decked out. The king gave Mordecai everything. Do you know that everything Haman had, Mordecai got? And guess where they killed Haman? On those gallows that he built for Mordecai. All because a young girl said, if I perish, I perish. I was brought into this palace for a reason. And after that, every single Jew, a decree went out that they will live and that they will not die. They ended up killing over 15,000 people that had hurt the Jews over all of those years. They celebrated and they still celebrate to this day, that day that they were free from dying and being annihilated. A whole race of God's people could have been wiped out if a little girl who was a nobody would have not stepped up into her call and walked into victory. The last point is victory. Walk into your victory, oh young people. To be victorious is having won a victory, having end a victory. You can win it and you can end in it. You can start it out in a victory because he's more than a conqueror. He's already paid the price for you. He's gone before you and he's done the job already. All you have to do is step into his blessing, step into his anointing, step into your purpose, step into who it is he's called you to be, and you will have victory. Esther was a beautiful woman. In verse 15, it says, 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Winston Churchill says, victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. You see, you're going to have to fight for what you believe in. You're going to have to fight like you've never fought before. I look at my kids now and I think, what kind of world are they growing up in? What kind of things? They just had the Orlando shooting. We had our own very own right here in San Bernardino. You think that's going to stop? It's not. It's not going to stop. Because the devil is mad. And he's going to take out whoever he can. And you better have your stuff together, oh Christians. You better be ready to fight. You better be ready to be there when God calls and says, I want you to open your mouth and be a mouthpiece to a lost and dying person who does not know the goodness of God, because we are not promised tomorrow. You are God's full-time ministers. You have been chosen and called by him. And what we can learn from a little girl named Esther, who was a nobody, is that we are more than enough. Because God lives in us and through us and around us, and that he has called us according to his purpose. You are awesome in his sight. And Esther was a beautiful young lady, just as you are. Beautiful young women and handsome young men. Don't let the world tell you otherwise. You stand firm, and I want you to put your shoulders back and go, I am a son and I am a daughter of the Most High God. And I will walk in what God has asked me to walk in. And I will answer the call. And I will do what God needs me to do. Because there's somebody out there that needs to know Jesus. Because if those people that were shot over here in our own very backyard did not know Jesus, what a sad tragedy. We need to get the gospel out. Because the enemy is on the prowl, but God has come to give life and life more abundantly. I want to talk to some of you tonight. And you go, wow.